Susanna and the children are talking today about prayer. Robert challenges us to pray. Guess what I'm talking about today? What'd you say? You got it. If you've got your notes, please take that out. We're going to be talking about praying for gratitude. Praying for gratitude. You know, you're asked to fill these out. Lately, nobody's been filling these out. Well, actually, there were two last week. And so maybe you think we're not going to really pray for you. And we do pray for you and your concerns. But in order to pray for your concerns, please tell us what they are, okay? These are things like you're praying for. Sometimes we have people who will put on this card, a note that goes something like this. A friend just lost her job or is losing her job. Or a friend was in a serious accident. And so, wow, now what are we going to do with that? Most often, people will check that little box and say, just you guys pray for this, okay? Okay, that's fine. Sometimes they'll say, they don't check the box often. So what do we do? How do you pray for somebody who's been in a serious accident or lost a job or is waiting for a treatment or has a child that's really struggling or maybe coming around? How do we pray? I mean, what do you say to God on behalf of, what do you say to God on behalf of somebody that you don't even know? You couldn't put a face to the name. Can you pray? Well, we can pray for an attitude of gratitude. We can pray that our friends or the people we don't even know will actually, as part of their growth in Christ, that they'll be overflowing with joyful thanksgiving. Overflowing. I mean, do you know God's will for people? Do you know God's will for people? If they don't know Christ, what's God's will for them? I mean, he says it right here. He's not willing that any should perish. And the cross reminds us how serious he is about that. That always reminds us how serious he is about that. He's serious about our sin, and he's serious about our salvation. Anything else that you know that God, this is God's will for them? Well, turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, there are a number of model prayers in the Bible. Colossians chapter 1, if you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1165. You've been sitting for a while. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Why don't you stand, please? Take your Bible. You know, you always ought to have a Bible. We always need to come to church with a Bible. So if you don't have one, we supply them right here. But they're not all that heavy. So do what Robert challenged you to do. Get the MacArthur Study Bible. I've got that one, too, and I use it at least once a week, if not more. I'm going to read verses 9 through 14. Verses 9 through 14. This is truly a model prayer. We could pray this for people we don't know, but somebody has asked us to pray like this. He doesn't say pray like this. Paul just simply says this. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened. All these things are part of God's will. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance. God's will, that you may have great endurance and patience for joyfully giving thanks. God's will. I can pray for you, and you can pray for me, and anybody else you know. God's will, that you will be, anybody will be joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us. It's his will that we be joyfully thankful that he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he's brought us into the kingdom of his, the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Father, may your word come freshly alive in my mind and heart. May your word come freshly alive to my family and my friends. Lord, may your word grip me as somebody asked me to pray for them, even asking me to pray for somebody I've never met. Lord, teach me and teach us to pray. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, it's one of those awkward moments when you do something nice, or you've just talked nice to a little child, or maybe you've given them something. You've given them something, and the parents stand behind them, and they just take that thing and off they walk. You know. You know what I provide for the children? I provide these little mints. They're predominantly for the children that sit up front here, and they know. I've told them, we've got mints for you down here. They're wintergreen mints, and I like them myself, so, you know. I've got some grandchildren that know where they are in my house, and they know that they're in my left pocket, and they know when they see me, and every once in a while, they'll come up and try to dig in my pocket. Now they just come up, you have a mint? You have a mint? You have a mint? I give them a mint, okay, if I have some. And occasionally I've given a mint, and they just, all right, walk off. And I've kind of stopped the younger ones, and it probably only really works when they're young. But I've said, so what do you say? You say, thanks. Don't you just hate to have somebody try to prompt you to do something you should have done to begin with? We were on vacation this summer. We were in a city that it's very, very busy. There's cars and bicycles by the millions going back and forth. It's just crazy. And we were on our way to see a museum that I have long wanted to see. And we were following a map. And along the way, we walked up to, it was kind of in the middle of the city, a construction zone. There were the things all around it to kind of keep you out of the construction zone unless you belonged. And there was a guy in a yellow vest, and he was wearing a hard hat. And we went up and said, is this Rijksmuseum up this way? And this man in the yellow vest and the hard hat said, excuse me, good morning. Well, are we going the right way? Excuse me. Just excuse me, good morning. Oh, Sorry. Good morning. You know, it's kind of embarrassing when you're prompted to do something you should have done. But here's the deal. Giving thanks to God is a really big deal. Who's it a big deal for? Who do you think it's a big deal for? Ah, good. It's a good deal for us. As well, it's a good deal for him. Kind of gets our minds and our hearts back in the right place, right? So if you ask me to pray for your friend, if I ask you to pray for my friend or my family member who might have a serious, serious illness, I read this prayer that Paul has for this group of Christian brothers and sisters that he has never met. He's never met them. He just knows about their story. And he says, this is how I pray for you. And we've got the words here in this paragraph. This is the third, I think this is at least the third message that we've done on this little prayer. And like Robert said, we should probably spend a lot more time than this. But I'd like to suggest to all of us, just like I read this today, that we pray this way for people, maybe even people that we've not met. And they may have an incurable disease, and they may be struggling with depression, and they may be struggling with discouragement. They may be struggling with a wandering heart. But I want to tell you, I need to pray, and I'm suggesting to you that we need to pray like this for people, about things that matter forever. Now and forever. Pray for matters of the soul. Even before we pray for their health or their family or their depression. Pray for the things that really matter in the long run. Once again, this morning, I want to say part of this, in praying for God's will and a knowledge of God's will, pray that they'll have a knowledge of God's will that, down at verse 12, to the point that they would be joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you and qualified them to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks for all of this. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Why should I pray for you that you would have an attitude of gratitude? Because I'll tell you this, you're just like me. We so easily forget of all that we have in Christ. We forget it, and we moan and groan about something that's going wrong right now. A car that won't work. You know, a hip that's paining. It's full of pain. Scabs on my body. Yeah, this is all this stuff. This is all my immediate need. But pray for I need to pray for you, and you need to pray for me, that we will be joyfully, not out of an obligation, say thanks. Say thanks to God. Come on. Quit thinking about yourself. Give thanks. And we need to be joyfully giving thanks about these things that follow and that have preceded us. Giving thanks. It is a crowning virtue. It's a wonderful virtue of the one who's filled with the knowledge of God's will. Why is it so important what you know? Why is it so important what I know? Why is it so important that we fill our minds with truth? Because that's going to drive our ability to give thanks. He says that joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. And the issue of qualifying us means he's put us in the position. He's to inherit all of these wonderful things and to thoroughly enjoy them. He's authorized us. He's empowered us to enjoy this inheritance that we have in Christ. When you don't know how to pray, pray in this kind of way. That we or our friends will be joyfully giving thanks. As we reflect on his kindness, that's a reason for joyful thanksgiving. You ever sit there in the middle of a prayer, and you kind of find yourself grousing, like the psalmists do? And psalms are very honest. How long, O Lord? How long will you abandon us? Will you abandon me forever? Okay, there's my thought right now. Why does everybody else get cut a break and I don't? Haven't I deserved it? As we grow in our understanding of God's grace. You know, have you ever found yourself in the middle of a prayer? It's happened to you, so it's happened to your friends as well. And suddenly, something out of, I don't know, who knows where. Oh yeah, you call it the Holy Spirit. And somehow the words hit your lips as you're praying, or the thought hits your mind. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Really? His kindness? Really? His kindness? His kindness. And his provision. And his grace. And his kindness is expressed in a reminder of his presence right now. His presence. I've been studying a book with Jim Smotherman and Ron Hafer, and I talked about this, Jack Schwartz, and then Heidi's grandpa. And they've been, these old guys gathered in Panera every week for the same, we order the same thing every week, and we're doing a study. And it's the book that we're studying right now is a book based on the 23rd Psalm. It's written by Dallas Willard. Sometimes you got to read his stuff two or three or four times before you get it. That's okay. It's good to be challenged at our age. The title of the book is called A Life Without Want. A Life Without Want. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll try that again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. All right. I knew. Yes. It matters what you read. It matters what God uses to remind you and me. And so, not wanting is a thing. It is actually God's will for my life and yours. And it's his will. It's his will to understand who the shepherd is. He's perfect in his will. Would he ever deny you or me or our friends? Would he ever deny us something that we didn't need? Do you think he would? I don't think so. Matter of fact, I know. Based on how Jesus told his disciples to pray, I know he will never deny you. He'll never deny my family anything they need. He might well deny me what I want. And you too. And that might even be freedom from pain. But you know what? He will not deny me what I need. Now and forever into eternity. Never. The Lord is my shepherd. And with him as my shepherd, I shall not and you shall not want. So pray that I'll have an attitude of gratitude. Pray for those who you love and care for and even those you don't know, for an attitude of gratitude. The further we go in our relationship with God, the more we understand. The more we understand, and that's what Paul was praying, that you'll have a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding. And understanding his will. The further we go in that relationship, we'll grasp his will. And the more we do so, the more we will give thanks. We'll be more mindful because we remember that he is qualified to share in the inheritance, the next point in your notes, in the inheritance of his saints. In the kingdom of light, the word kingdom in that verse, the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, it's more rightly translated that he has qualified us to, he's put us in that position to have this right of inheritance of the saints in light. Israel had a share. Israel had a share in the promised land, right? God said, and all people who were, all those Jews that came out of Egypt, he said, I've got an inheritance for you. And their inheritance was the promised land. We have an inheritance as believers in Christ. What's our inheritance? Think about the things that are part of your inheritance and mine. Part of our inheritance is the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised to his own, didn't he? And if you're a follower of Christ, your inheritance and my inheritance and the inheritance of those people that you don't know in Pakistan and in Afghanistan, people in China who are on the other side of the world, their inheritance is the same as mine, a Holy Spirit who is present in my life. We have the comforter, the restrainer, the reminder. Jesus called him the reminder. He'd bring to our remembrance. That's an inheritance, folks. That is a... Are you thankful for the inheritance you have of the Holy Spirit who is resident in you, who will remind you when you are just... You can hardly think about anything. You're so distracted by some of the circumstances of life. The Holy Spirit is our reminder. Is that a reason to give thanks? Amen. That is a reason to give thanks for the Holy Spirit who is resident in me. I pray that God will keep reminding me by the Holy Spirit to pray for my kids and my grandchildren that they will so appreciate their inheritance, which includes a Holy Spirit who is resident in them. And when I can't do anything to change their circumstances, he's there to remind them. Man, that's something to give thanks for. Thank you, Lord. I've done some pretty stupid things to try to take over my circumstances because I really thought I ought to manage all the details of my kids' lives. Some pretty just boneheaded things. Like, hearing a siren when my kids lived in the house and I get up at 11:30 at night and go out to the car and drive down to Whittier Boulevard. And is there any accident around here? Did I see any cars that I recognize? That's pretty, I don't know. The Holy Spirit is in them. And I pray that they will understand and give thanks for the Holy Spirit's in them. Give thanks for the inheritance that we have of the body of Christ. The body of Christ. All around here. I can give thanks for you. And you ought to give thanks for all of us. Seriously. Really give thanks. Even if they didn't come along and encourage me. Even if they didn't tell me, great message, Pastor. Even if they didn't give me the feedback I thought I wanted to get, give thanks for the body of Christ that's there for me. And I know is praying for me and for you. Give thanks for your inheritance. Give thanks that he has delivered us. That he has from the dominion of darkness, give thanks that he has delivered us. When you pray that God would prompt people to give thanks, are you thinking that they would actually say, Lord, thanks that I'm not stuck in this mess? I don't have to be stopped in my tracks by these details of life. And I'm not stuck so that the enemy of my soul and the enemy of your soul is just going to nick away at me and the people that I love. He's delivered me, and he's delivered you, and he's delivered other believers, and he has people yet to come to Christ that he is willing to deliver from the dominion of darkness, minds that are darkened by the impossibilities that he throws in front of us. We are not consigned to the dominion of darkness, and for that, give thanks that you don't have to be stuck, unable to move forward in your relationship with God. Give thanks that he's delivered us from the dominion of darkness. Give thanks, too, that he has transferred us. We have a change of address. Give thanks that we have a changed address. He's transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he likes. Let me just briefly say, that means he's transferred us. He has removed us. That word is like removing a person from this circumstance of life and moved them into another place altogether. And he's done that. I don't always feel like I've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. But Paul is praying for these people that he's never met. May you guys grow up knowing that you're not stuck where you have to be. God has already transferred you into the kingdom of righteousness. Give thanks because of that redemption that he's purchased for you. Much like a slave's, the price of a slave would have been paid. Give thanks that the price has been paid for you. Remember the cross. May our friends, may our family keep reminding them. May they continue to understand his will for their lives, is that they experience redemption, the forgiveness of sins, as Paul ends it. Kind of this redeemed from being stuck, redeemed from being stuck in sin, and redeemed to this end, that there is absolute forgiveness. This past week, I started a book by John Ortberg. And the name of the book is Eternity. Oh, man. Eternity is Eternity is now in session. Sorry. Eternity is now in session. It's not reserved. Your eternity and my eternity. Now listen to this. Your eternity and mine doesn't begin the day I take my last breath or the day you take your last breath. Eternity is more than just a location. I need to know that. And knowing that, knowing is the word that the Bible uses for knowing. Knowing is not just that I can read that in a book. Knowing that is that I begin to experience that now. Jesus said, in John 17, in his prayer to the Father, he said, I've given eternal life to these people that you've given to me. And this is eternal life, knowing you, the only true God. That's eternal life, knowing you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Give thanks. Pray for me. Pray for me and pray for each other. And pray for the people whose names or no names that you'll find in our prayer journal. Pray for a knowledge of God's will. Pray for a knowledge of God's will that really builds in you and me and them an attitude of thanksgiving. Father, may it be so. Your word tells me, tells us, to in all things give thanks. Lord, I pray that you'd teach me to pray. Remind me to pray for my kids and my grandchildren and my neighbors and my friends. Remind me to pray for people, Lord, that I don't even know yet, face to face. But remind me to pray that we will all have an attitude of gratitude before you, overflowing with thanksgiving for the things that really matter and last. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.